And welcome back to Community Conversations right here at the Concord TV studio. And I'm really glad that we have the Friends program here today to tell us about some upcoming events and to remind all of you out there about the important work that they are doing in the community. So I'm really glad to have Laura. You are the development director of the Friends program. Glenda, welcome to the studio. It's your first time here.
You
were the director of emergency housing. And I know you both are super busy, but I appreciate you guys coming in and having this discussion about all the important work. So how are you guys doing?
Great, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So let's just kind of overview and start with the Friends program. Give us just in a nutshell, I think most people in Concord probably have heard of the Friends program, but if you could give us sort of just a kind of a brief mission and purpose of that organization.
Great, happy to. We actually just rewrote our mission this year.
Oh, good.
So
okay.
I think we have a really great way of capturing what we do because we help a lot of different people in lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. So our official mission is to build positive connections and create solutions for at-risk youth, families, and seniors. And we do that through several different goals to inspire confident kids through our youth mentoring program. We help shelter families who are experiencing homelessness. We're going to talk a lot about that today. Mm-hmm. We have several programs that help improve educational outcomes for at-risk youth through senior volunteers. And then we help fill any kind of community need through our RSVP Senior AmeriCorps program.
Okay, so you've got, so the mission and the programs that operate, so you have youth mentoring, you have emergency housing, you have RSVP, what's
and the fourth is foster grandparents.
And foster grandparents, okay.
Yep. But we were trying to talk about the fact that we are working to improve educational outcomes, improve food security for people who are at risk. We have a caregivers program for at-risk seniors where we do medical transportation and shopping for folks who are having a hard time getting out and about in the community. So we try to meet community needs through volunteerism.
And that a lot of that volunteerism is filling the gaps of things that maybe people would otherwise, like getting a ride somewhere or these services that sometimes you just need a neighbor or someone who can help you, but having a nonprofit that can connect you to those services and a volunteer, that's super important, I think.
Right, it was really important during COVID too, where people were very isolated and you know, frail seniors who weren't able to get out to the grocery store, and now you have volunteers who are willing to do that work. You know, the senior pays for the groceries, obviously, but that volunteer would go and get the list, and they develop friendships, they develop relationships over time, and it's really an amazing gift that the volunteers give to their neighbors.
That's awesome. Now, just to pivot quickly, so Glenda, with in terms of emergency housing, and just in general, if you could tell us about what goes into managing and operating and the importance of of that service that's provided to the community.
So our family shelter is 24/7. We have staffing there 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. And then we have an emergency on, you know, overnight phone call for families in need. We are the only family shelter in Concord. We are a low barrier shelter, which means the only thing you need to qualify for our shelter is to have 50% of custody of a child to come into our shelter. What that means now when you come into our shelter is we offer case management and, you know, a lot of the services to get you to get safe benefits, apply for housing, and, you know, most importantly, it's a safe place for families and their children to be. A lot of families that we're getting are sleeping in their cars, are sleeping in tents, you know, outside. So our main goal is to get them off the street into a safe place and then kind of help them figure out, you know, what their next step in that road to success is.
Yeah, I imagine that having that safe place, it's hard to even have that if without that foundational safety, right? It's kind of like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like you need that safety if you're going to even make those next steps.
Yes.
But you're providing also resources for them to take those next steps.
Yes.
Can you remind us again what some of those kind of next steps for sort of sort of recovery and getting back on your feet would be?
I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, getting food stamps so that, you know, you could have, you know, access to food. Some of them also apply for disability, you know, TANF through the state, being able to get your license back or even a state ID that some of them don't have either the income or just the mental space to be able to fill out a piece of paper to apply for things like that, getting copies of their birth certificates, things like that. Any legal issues, we also support them. We connect them with legal aid. And most importantly, we also give them support. So if they have any appointments that they need to go to and just are a little bit scared or they don't understand or they feel really inundated by information, we have a case coordinator that will support them with understanding that paperwork, filling it out. This is what they need from you. We can handle this. You do this for us. So it's a really 50-50. And the most important part is that it's that support, and we remind them that they're not by themselves anymore, and that we are going to be there to support them.
It's especially scary too. I know, and when you go through state process or any with license renewals, or it's confusing going through appointments or which line to stand in. That on top of all the other traumas that you've gone through, or it just seems almost insurmountable for you know, renewing a driver's license, or so I can't even imagine just how difficult a seemingly simple task. But do you feel like this could be, I talk about curveball questions, that the state or city levels, are those processes, do they need to be streamlined better to for people who, or do those processes work fine if you're able to, you know, go
it's,
after it?
It's like 50-50, you know what I mean? Like there's some process of it that are very like to the point and direct, and then there's some of it that can be really just hard to manage. And you know, we do a Concord directors meeting where we talk about like, would it be beneficial to have just DHHS individuals that work with just homeless individuals that are trying to apply for benefits that know what needs to be done versus just calling and speaking to a representative that has no idea where you're calling from or your situation, because that's where it gets a little bit confusing because you have a family that's calling about, oh, I have this letter that says this, this, and that. And the caller is just like, I'm not sure. Here's step 1 through 20, and that can just become so overwhelming to someone. Whereas if we did have somebody that was just specialized in families experiencing homelessness, how much easier and fast could that go? So it's really, it's one of those give and take, you know, it really depends on the family situation and who we're getting on the other line for DHHS.
If I could add that, every family's needs are so different. And so our program, meets them where they are, and then develops a an individual care kind of a program, a pathway. And here's all the, you know, all the things that you need to do, but we're going to help you. We're going to do this one first, and then this one, and that going back to that, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming if you're not in that situation to do some of these things. And so having people there to be your backup and say, here's the person to call, and you're not cold calling an agency. And you know, it's, it is streamlined in that regards that our staff really helps the family prioritize and you know, and create a pathway and follow up, because you know, following up is hard,
And not saying, here are the steps, good luck.
Go, right.
How did that first one go, and how's the second one go? But having that unique pathway, I love that point, because it's very clear that everybody has different needs. So step 1 through 20 will look very different family to family. And the timeline and the priority levels for certain things, So, but is that challenging, I guess, from a staff perspective? I'm sure you guys have an incredible team of people that do all that, but to, you know, you have to put together those custom plans that there's, maybe there's templates, I assume, but that you have to vary from those a little bit.
Yeah, I can't say it's challenging. I mean, I will say that every day is a new day, and it's never the same. But I will say that we do have a really great staff at the shelter, and we all lean on each other, and we have really good communication, because if we didn't, we would have no idea what's happening. But to your point, it's kind of those things that like we kind of try and just, okay, let's do this little bit, and then we'll worry about everything else. Let's handle kind of like what's the crisis, and then let's level that down to a, you know, a doable thing, and then let's move on to the next thing. Ideally, myself and, and my staff, we just want the family to feel calm and that they are supported. So that's always our main goal. When they come into our shelter, the first thing we do is, you know, here's your toiletries, here's everything you need, here's food, rest. Rest for like 2 days, and then we will tackle all the things you need, and then we will start there. Because we cannot imagine how hypervigilant they have been mm-hmm. for however long yep. until they have mm-hmm. come to our door.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So overwhelming to so yes. to day one pile everything on them
right.
is for
right.
anybody just
yes.
too much.
Yeah. So we just much. Want them to yeah. come in and get a good night's sleep, get some food in their bellies, you know, take a shower, whatever it is that will make them feel comfortable. And then we will, you know, embark on that journey, whatever right. that may be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So hearing all these resources and getting a better picture of what the Friends program does, the many different things, mm-hmm. I guess part of the challenge for nonprofits that provide so many different services, right, is you do all these different things mm-hmm. And describing all of them, which you guys are doing a great job of. Now, in terms of development and events, Laura, I guess maybe this would be a good time about upcoming events that Friends program has coming up, if you could just tell us a little bit about those.
Sure, so we have two big events coming up, and they are vastly different. First of all, in 11 days, on July 29th, we have a fun, just a absolutely free, fun family event that's happening in Keach Park, which is the park on Loudoun Road. And 23 different partnering organizations that serve families in Concord are gonna join us. And each booth will offer an activity and have swag and fun giveaways and prizes and just absolutely for fun for International Friendship Day. So that's why we chose that date. And we rent the entire park, and there will be arts and games and soccer and dance and music and,
yeah. And families are always looking for fun things to do yeah. and the fact that it's free and something you could just stop over. I also love the location.
Yeah.
That's a great park, easy for some families to just walk over, ride yep. their bikes over.
Yep.
There is parking as well, so.
Yep, it's yep. so location. We chose Keach Park because of that proximity to all of the apartment complexes that are right on Loudoun Road. Many of the children that we serve through our youth mentoring program and actually many families exit mm-hmm. the shelter and go to apartments on Loudoun Road. So we wanted to make it free and easy for them to access the resources.
Yeah.
So it's July 29th from 1 to 4 p.m. and come anytime, stay the whole time, stay for a little while.
Yeah. And enjoy it yep. completely free. Just stop
and
by.
And it will be a sunny day.
Yes.
It will be.
Ordered it that way.
It will be a sunny day. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It is a rain or shine event. So unless it's thunderstorming.
Bring an umbrella.
And then right. if it's thunderstorming, we might pull the plug.
We've had to learn. A little bit of rain. There's been some events where we've just carried on
just
and
carry
do the best
on.
We can. And
absolutely.
Yeah. It's hard with like a 5K or a 10K or something like that. But you don't have to run. No running. You can just
you can if you want, but you do not have.
You can running optional. No organized run. And then the second event that you have coming up in September, I believe.
Yes. So the second event will be September 19th, and it is a breakfast. We're calling it Bricks and Breakfast, and it is part of a development campaign that is just launching now for renovation at our shelter. That is much needed renovation.
Yes.
So that's September 19th and 7:30 to 9. It is a ticketed event. So all that information is on our website.
Good. And we have a slide pulled up too of that event so people can see it and
great.
Bookmark it. And people have to see things, like we said before the show. They have to see it a certain number of
yes.
times.
Of course.
It sticks.
Of course.
But we definitely encourage people to check those out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I did cut you
no,
off.
No, that's okay. We'll be, we are just now launching a pretty robust development campaign so that we can finish a renovation that was actually started in 2019
mm-hmm.
To renovate the shelter. And the shelter is an old house, 19-something.
It's old.
Old multifamily house.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of decades ago, we renovated the back of the mm-hmm. house, which was actually a barn. And so we have eight shelter space for eight families.
So yeah, we have eight units.
Yeah.
We have 26 beds within those eight units. And then with this new renovation, it will be able to give us better space to be able to provide more trauma-informed care. And with that, it's just a more comfortable space to be able to meet with our families. With this, it'll be a more easily moved about building, less, you know, less restricted of area. We want families to feel like this is their space when they come here. You know, even though they're in a shelter, we want them to feel like this is their temporary home. They have, you know, their own locks to their own doors. We do not, you know, we knock before we come in. We want them to have that privacy because they've lost a lot of that, you know, in their time with dealing with all of this. So we want to make sure that when they come to us, they have that sense back.
Right. So that's important. So that development campaign is some important, much needed work.
Yes.
Now, I assume with the nonprofit that on a rolling basis, if folks want to give a donation, whether it's part of a campaign or just as part of their annual giving, maybe during the holidays, or we've recently had New Hampshire Gives. Laura, could you remind folks, even if you don't have the exact web address or anything like that, but where could folks go if they wanted to make any kind of a donation contribution?
Oh, our website is very easy to remember. It's just friendsprogram.org.
Easy.
Yeah,
yes.
Super easy. And there we'll happily take your donation any time of the year.
Okay.
Absolutely. That we have several aspects of this campaign for the shelter, and you can direct your support to any of our programs. So you can make a general donation, or you can direct it to our senior programs, whatever motivates you to support the program is welcome. We'll target your support. We have the Bricks and Breakfast event. We'll also be doing a brick, buy a brick campaign that is going to launch this week, and we'll be building a garden wall with recognizing the donors for that brick and their generous support. The renovation is actually going to be fairly complex in that we are gutting the middle of the building, replacing an antique original stairway that is unsafe, and it's just, you know, way too steep, as you can imagine, in an old house, and equalizing the floor so that you can flow through the whole building, which will be a huge improvement for staff.
Yes.
And creating a larger kitchen, because we have one kitchen, I think I sent you the picture, that serves four families. And it is, you know, about this much counter space for four families.
It's
cozy.
Yes.
And then we'll be adding a bedroom, so we'll be adding capacity to house an additional family, and creating a more reasonably sized office so that the staff can meet with the family in a more holistic way, and you know, just making small but really vital improvements to enhance privacy and control for the families to feel comfortable and having doorways make sense, and you know, just really improving the ambiance.
Yes,
that's the right word. The aesthetic nature of the shelter, and our executive director, who couldn't be here today, is fond of saying, for the children, she just she wants them to feel like this is a place they lived at one time, that they never really knew that they were in shelter.
Yeah. Well, I love the sense of pride that goes into, like, basically, we're making this home for you. You're not here, you know, it's not home for life necessarily, but you're here. When you're here, you are part of our family. And so that's, I think that's really cool that you're taking pride, not just saying, this is what we have, this it's what can we do to improve it? And I think fixing, you said, like the steep staircase and the the kitchen counter space, I mean, those are things that will make people feel even more at home and more welcome. So I think that's super important. And we're just about wrapping up on our time, but I want to thank you both for being on the program, talking about Friends Program, talking about upcoming events. If we could just sort of, my last little question or prompt, and we'll start with Glenda, is, you know, without being too specific, is there an instance or an example of something recent that, or maybe it's not recent, but something that made you go, this is why I do it? I'm sure you get that maybe every day, so it might be hard to pick, because I know you love what you do, but can you think of an example of something that was like, because everyone in nonprofit has that aha moment, hopefully multiple moments, but what's one that stands out to you?
I just actually had one recently, and it was a young mom that just moved out of our shelter, and she got housing. She's a single mom, 24. You know, we connected due to our culture when I started working at the shelter, and it was just really that aha moment of, like, these are the moments that are worth it, because, you know, she had no family, she had no support, she had us, and that was it. And I remember when she got, you know, the apartment offered, she broke down in tears because she's like, now I'm going to have no one to support me. And I remember telling her that we are always going to be here, whether you're in our shelter or not, our resources are always available. And just the look on her face of knowing that, like, you're right, I'm not alone. Like, there's still this resource, there's still the community that I'm going to be connected to. Those are the moments that we do the work that we do. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, she has her own apartment. Now she has a place to call her own for her and her child that no one will ever take from her. And that's the best part. So that's awesome. That's what I do, what I do.
That's
great. So. And we didn't really mention that we do offer that support to families after they've exited the shelter.
Okay, yeah. Great.
We call it continuum of care, where we check in and on occasion try to run interference with a landlord issue or something, you know, people. Yep. But before you get to a crisis, let's check in and troubleshoot. And we offer that support for families for quite a while after they've left the shelter.
Okay, good to know. So, Laura, same question to you.
Same question. Well, I don't do as much direct work, so I don't get the, I don't get to play with the little two-year-old who puts his hands up and says, you play?
And just
absolutely kills you. I get to see the 10,000-foot view because I do development. And I served on the board for 6 years before I became a staff member and just love the mission, love the fact that we help all ages and you can change someone's life just in an hour of just showing them that they are supported and cared for. And we have a youth mentoring program going on right now called Game Night. And we didn't have enough volunteers the first session, so I got to pitch in. And lovely little six-year-old girl was so shy at the beginning of the session, you know, on her mom's skirt the whole time, don't leave me. And by the time the hour was over, we were giggling and just having great fun. And it was about that, you know, building that confidence and that she had a good time. She got to try something new. And for the families that we serve, often having those experiences makes all the difference.
Like you said, 1 hour can make a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can make an impact.
Yeah.
And was that over at the community center?
Yeah, it runs for the next
space.
6 weeks.
Okay,
so if anybody's interested in that, that info's on the website as well.
That is awesome. Friendsprogram.org.
You got it.
Okay. It's, like you said, easy website.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you, Laura, and thank you, Glenda, for joining us, for telling us about the program. At Concord TV, it's really important to us that we help share the good news of what's happening. We're so lucky that we have such a strong nonprofit backbone to our community to fill those services gaps that otherwise would be there. So thanks for all you do.
Thanks
for having us as well.
Absolutely. You. So you're welcome back anytime. And again, love the work that you guys are doing. And thank you to everyone for watching Community Conversations. We will see you again next time. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, on Instagram, and give us feedback on what you like or if you'd like to see something else. That feedback helps us work on what we're doing to serve the community the way that we can. See you next time.